cookies. I'm Nikki Strong, and this is VOA 1 The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. On today's program, John Russell has a story on the increased demand for copper. Dan Friedel reports on dinosaur fossils found by children. Katie Weaver and I have the education reports on students' recovery from the pandemic. Later, John returns to present the lesson of the day. But first,
manufacturers have been reusing and recycling copper for many years. Now they are increasing their efforts because some experts predict that the need for the metal will nearly double by 2035. The demand for copper might partly come from a move away from fossil fuels. There is a movement to power buildings, vehicles, and manufacturing operations with clean electricity. Some people hope to electrify everything, but doing so would require more copper. The other half of the reported increased demand comes from constructing buildings and making cell phones and data centers. In an industrial area near Montreal, there is a factory owned by the French company Nexans that recycles copper. Nexans is one of the world's largest wire and cable manufacturers. In the factory, sheets of copper move along a special product mover 4 stories above the floor of the factory. The sheets then drop into a hot furnace. Next come pieces of copper wire. Out of the furnace comes liquid copper. It travels to a second furnace, and from there, melted copper flows out. The liquid is then shaped into long, thin pieces called rods. These are the raw materials for copper wire. The Nexans mill has made copper rod from rock, called ore, for nearly 100 years. Now it processes an increasing amount of used copper. 14% of some of the rods are recycled metal. The company hopes to increase that to 20%. We say to our customers, your waste of today, your scrap of today, is your energy of tomorrow. So bring back your scrap, said Nexans chief Christopher Guérin. Every ton of copper that is recycled means that up to 200 tons of ore will not need to be mined. That is important because mining can harm the environment, causing pollution in the soil, water, or air. Copper is an especially good candidate for reuse because it can be recycled endlessly without losing its value or performance, Guérin said. Each day, up to 10 trucks drop off wire, cable, and copper scrap at the Nexans mill. Nexans uses more than 2,600 times the weight of New York City's Statue of Liberty in copper each year. Some of the materials come from customers, some from scrap dealers. The purity must be high if it is to be used to carry electricity. Daniel Jürgen is with the financial information company S&P Global. He said people may have a closer connection to this metal and this mill than they realize. Copper connects people to the world, Jürgen said. We depend on electricity for everything now, he said. none of it works without copper. Aluminum is also used for electrical wiring in some cases, but it takes a lot of energy to produce. Some aluminum factories, where machines separate metal from ore, have cut production or closed because electricity prices are so high. These cuts and closures have added to the demand for copper. The International Copper Association, or ICA, says about two-thirds of all the copper produced in the last 100 years is still in use. It is used in electrical systems, communications, and home appliances. When equipment and machines get past their useful life, they represent a large supply that can be recycled in the future, the trade group said. Colin Williams of the USGS Mineral Resources Program said companies should recycle more of the copper that is already out there. By recycling, companies can make use of what is, effectively, an urban mine. It increases the supply available, Williams said. He added that recycling reduces the energy and environmental impacts associated with new mining by being able to reuse material we've already mined. It's an important step. I'm John Russell.
Two brothers, Liam and Jessen Fisher, were hiking in North Dakota with their father and cousin, Caden Madsen, during the summer of 2022. They were looking for dinosaur fossils, and they found one. Liam and his father, Sam, noticed a large leg bone sticking out of the ground. They shouted to the others to come and look. They came running, said Liam, who is now 9 years old. And Dad asked, what is this? And Jessen said, that's a dinosaur. 2 years later, experts removed the fossils from the ground and the remains of a young Tyrannosaurus rex are now at a museum in Colorado where people can see them. The dinosaur is being called Teen Rex, because it was not yet an adult when it died. The Denver Museum of Nature and Science announced the find in early June. The fossil will be displayed and studied for years to come. Jessen is now 12. When he saw the leg bone, he was sure it was a dinosaur, but he did not know what kind it was. His father, Sam, contacted a childhood friend, Tyler Lyson, a scientist who studies dinosaurs and works at the museum in Denver. He sent a photo, and Lyson started working on the permissions required to do an excavation. Last year, everyone went back to the place to start working. At first, the group thought the bone belonged to a smaller, plant-eating dinosaur. But later that day, Lyson said he and Jessen found the lower jaw and some large T-Rex teeth. It still gives me goosebumps, Lyson said. I was completely, like, speechless, said Caden, who is now 11. Tyrannosaurus rex was one of the largest meat-eating dinosaurs. Scientists say it lived in what is now North America about 67 million years ago. All dinosaurs disappeared about 66 million years ago. The scientists say the young T-Rex was 13 to 15 years old. These dinosaurs are considered fully grown starting at 18 years. The teen Rex was about 7.6 meters long, about two-thirds the size of an adult. One fossil named Sue, which is displayed at the Field Museum in Chicago, is 12.3 meters. Lyson said the Denver display will not be as big as the display in Chicago because much of it is still contained in a large piece of rock. He said they have a hip bone, the skull, and a number of vertebrae, which are backbones. The fossil was found in a piece of soft stone called sandstone. This leads the scientists to believe the dinosaur got stuck on a sandy area in the middle of a river. Lyson said scientists are interested in finding ways that younger T-Rexes were different from older ones. They were faster and had smaller heads. Because of this, the scientists think the young dinosaurs had a different diet than the older ones. There are very few young Tyrannosaurus fossils available. A younger one is at the Burpee Museum in Rockford, Illinois. Lyson said the new discovery should help dinosaur researchers understand another theory. A small number of scientists believe a dinosaur called Nanotyrannus was related to T. rex and lived at the same time. A movie about the discovery with scientists from the Denver Museum of Nature and Science is expected to be released on June 21st. I'm Dan Friedel.
It is a usual school day for third graders at Mount Vernon Community School in Alexandria, Virginia. On one side of the classroom, students surround teacher Maria Fletcher and work on making vowel sounds. On the other side, children read together from a book. In another part of the room, students sit at computers and get reading help from online tutors. Such activities have become normal for the students. Teachers at Mount Vernon and around the country are racing to get students to learn more faster. The hope is to get past learning problems that have continued to affect students since schools closed for the COVID-19 pandemic 4 years ago. America's schools have started getting back on track, but improvement has been slow and uneven. Millions of students, often poor or from minority groups, are making up little or no progress. Nationally, students made up one-third of their pandemic losses in math during the past school year and one-quarter of the losses in reading. Those findings come from the Education Recovery Scorecard. That is an examination of state and national test scores by researchers at Harvard University and Stanford University. But in 9 states, including Virginia, reading scores continued to fall during the 2022-2023 school year. And the $190 billion in federal pandemic relief money for schools runs out later this year. Thomas Kane is a Harvard economist who helped create the scorecard. The recovery is not finished, and it won't be finished without state action, he said. States need to start planning for what they're going to do when the federal money runs out in September.
Virginia lawmakers approved an extra $418 million last year to quicken the recovery. Officials in the state of Massachusetts set aside $3.2 million to provide math tutoring for fourth and eighth grade students who are behind grade level, along with $8 million for reading help. But among other states with slow progress, few said they were spending more to speed up improvement. In Virginia, the Alexandria School District received $2.3 million in additional state money to expand tutoring. Ana Maricela Ventura Moreno said her 9-year-old daughter, Sabrina, greatly benefited from extra reading help last year during second grade. But she is still catching up, her mother said. She needs to get better. She's not at the level she should be, the mother said in Spanish. She noted the school did not offer the tutoring help this year, but she did not know why. Alexandria education officials say students scoring below proficient receive high-intensity tutoring help. They also said they help students with the greatest needs. Among poorer students at Mount Vernon, just 24% scored proficient in math. Just 28% of them scored proficient in reading. That is far lower than the rates among wealthier students. And the divide is growing wider. Failing to get students back on track could have serious effects. The researchers at Harvard and Stanford found communities with higher test scores have higher wages and lower rates of arrest and imprisonment. If pandemic learning losses become permanent, it could follow students for life. The Education Recovery Scorecard tracks about 30 states. All of the states saw at least some improvement in math from 2022 to 2023. 9 states saw reading scores drop during that time. Only a few states have recovered to pre-pandemic testing levels.
In Chicago public schools, the average reading score went up by the equivalent of 70% of a grade level from 2022 to 2023. Math gains increased less, with students still behind almost half a grade level compared with 2019. Chicago officials say the improvements were made possible because of the nearly $3 billion in federal relief money. With the funds, the district trained hundreds of people in Chicago to work as tutors. Every school building got an interventionist, an educator who centers on helping struggling students. The district also used federal money for home visits and expanded arts education. At Wells Preparatory Elementary on the city's south side, just 3% of students met state reading standards in 2021. Last year, 30% met state standards. Federal relief funds permitted the school to hire an interventionist for the first time. Teachers get paid to work on students' academic recovery outside working hours. Vincent Uzwegbu is the principal at Wells. He said, "We do not let 10 minutes go by without a teacher giving students the opportunity to engage with the subject. That's very, very important in terms of the growth that we've seen," Uzwegbu added. I'm Dan Novak.
And I'm Katie Weaver.
Novak is with me now to talk more about today's education story. Hi, Dan.
Thanks for talking with me, Ashley.
Your story was about how students have been recovering Now, 4 years after the pandemic shut down schools across the country, things are slowly improving.
Thankfully, students are largely returning to levels they were at before the pandemic. Students made up one-third of their pandemic losses in math during the past school year, and one-quarter of the losses in reading. But in 9 states, reading scores have continued to fall.
What are the ways schools have been able to help students make improvements?
Well, in the story, I talk specifically about Chicago schools. The district hired hundreds of people in the city to work as tutors. Teachers were incentivized, or given rewards, to help students outside school hours. Every school was able to hire an interventionist. And the district has seen the results. The average reading score went up by the equivalent of 70% of a grade level from 2022 to 2023. The district notes that these gains were made possible because of federal relief money, but that money runs out in September.
How are schools preparing for that loss of funding?
Experts say state governments are the ones that need to be preparing for the expiration of federal funds. States like Virginia and Massachusetts have already approved additional spending on education, but many other states have not.
Thanks for answering my questions today, Dan, and thanks for your report.
You're welcome, Ashley.
In this next report, Dan Novak tells us about recent scientific research that involves the NASA spacecraft called Lucy. We learn about some observations that Lucy made of asteroids known as Dinkinesh and Salaam. Pay careful attention to the word accumulation. We will talk more about it after the report.
NASA's Lucy spacecraft visited a little asteroid called Dinkinesh last November. The visit, scientists say, unlocks a surprisingly interesting history of the asteroid along with its companion, Salaam. Asteroids are ancient objects from the beginning of the solar system. They offer clues about how Earth and other planets formed about 4.5 billion years ago. The U.S. Space Agency launched Lucy in 2021 on a 12-year mission to study asteroids. The mission is especially interested in Jupiter's Trojan asteroids, two groups of space rocks that lead and follow the giant planet as it orbits the Sun. On the way, Lucy flew past Dinkinesh and Salaam in the inner edge of the main asteroid belt. The spacecraft observed ridges, trough structures, and other features on Dinkinesh. Dinkinesh has a diameter of nearly 720 meters. Salaam is made up of two similarly sized lobes, one about 230 meters wide and the other about 210 meters. Salaam orbits Dinkinesh once about every 53 hours at a distance of about 3.1 kilometers. It appears, the researchers said, that a big piece of rock broke free sometime in the past from Dinkinesh. The rock was about a quarter of its total size, creating a trough on its surface and sending debris into space. Some of this debris, they said, fell back onto Dinkinesh's surface to form a ridge structure. Other materials came together to form Salaam, becoming what is called a contact binary moonlet. Catherine Kretke from the Southwest Research Institute in Colorado is a co-writer of the study published in Nature. She said that a contact binary is when it appears that a single body is composed of two objects that collided gently enough not to become disrupted. Kretke said they are common in the solar system, but Salaam was the first time a contact binary has been observed orbiting another asteroid. Simone Marchi is another co-writer of the study. He said a planet like Earth formed by the accumulation of countless small bodies. Understanding the properties of small asteroids such as Dinkinesh and Salaam helps us to have a better picture of the earliest phases of planet formation. NASA's spacecraft was named for the Ethiopian fossil of the extinct human relative Australopithecus, called Lucy. That fossil has provided information about early human beings, much like asteroids provide knowledge of planetary formation. Dinkinesh is the Ethiopian name for the Lucy fossil, meaning "you are marvelous" in the Amharic language. Salam, the Ethiopian name for another Australopithecus fossil, means "peace" in Amharic. Lucy will next visit the asteroid Donald Johanson in 2025 in the main asteroid belt. The spacecraft is expected to visit 11 asteroids in total. I'm Dan Novak.
Before the report, we asked you to pay careful attention to the word accumulation. Can you remember when you heard it? You heard the term used in a quote from researcher Simone Marchi. Let's listen again.
He said a planet like Earth formed by the accumulation of countless small bodies. Understanding the properties of small asteroids such as Dinkinesh and Salam helps us to have a better picture of the earliest phases of planet formation.
Accumulation is a noun. It means the act of increasing gradually in amount as time passes. We spell accumulation like this: A C C U M U L A T I O N. Accumulation comes from the verb accumulate. We spell accumulate like this: A C C U M U L A T E. Accumulation, the noun, and accumulate, the verb, are useful to know in a variety of situations. Today, you heard the noun form used in a quote by a researcher. But accumulate and accumulation can be used in really any situation where things might add up or increase over time. For example, when snow continues to fall, we say that snow is accumulating. Or when a friend faces a series of stressful or bad events in their life, you might say that the accumulation of stressful events cannot be good for your friend's health. A few words about how to pronounce accumulate and accumulation. The two words have a small difference in where we place the primary or main stress. In the verb accumulate, we often put the main or primary stress after the beginning vowel sound. We have secondary stress toward the end of the word. I will clap where we generally place the main stress. Accumulate. Accumulate. But in the noun accumulation, we place the primary or main stress closer to the end of the word. We have the secondary stress at the beginning of the word. Listen for the primary stress when I clap. Accumulation. Accumulation. Accumulate and accumulation are somewhat advanced words, but they are useful to know. Why? Because the terms describe language learning in general. Language learning is about the accumulation of knowledge, vocabulary, grammatical patterns, patterns of pronunciation, and so on. So, the next time you sit down to study, remember this point. Knowledge accumulation is your goal. And that's the lesson of the day. I'm John Russell.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.